in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's a brand new episode of Rewind, Replay, Record. Guess who's back? Back again. That's right, it's us. You thought we were out, but we are in. Or you probably didn't think that at all, and I'm just assuming. Which in that case, I'm sorry. I'm trying to work on it, and I apologize. We're still continuing our trek into a Shane Black Christmas, and joining me today on the episode, as always, is...
This is Edwin.
What's up, man? And joining us also is...
Hello.
Hell yeah. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good. Pretty good.
Pretty
very
good.
Jolly.
Sounds it. You sound jolly, sir.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Jolly like Old St. Nick.
Exactly. Yes. It's that time of year. It's the 13th when we're recording this, so we're like a week out before Christmas festivus and everything coming around and all this, and we'll discuss that more with our Shane Black Christmas continuation when we talk about Kiss Kiss, Bang Bang, and Iron Man 3. Our first... I think we'd be kind of remiss if we didn't talk about what's happening in Hollywood, or Hollywood, as some people call it. And that is the big explosive announcement that HBO Max announced, AT&T Warner Media announced, is that their whole 2021 slate is going straight to HBO Max alongside theaters, too, whichever... You know, whatever theater's open, it'll get that movie. But also at the same time, that movie will also be shown free of charge. Obviously, you have to have a membership to HBO Max, but it'll be also shown on HBO Max. And it'll be shown there for 30 days or 31 days. And then after that, taken off. And then it'll go through the regular cycle of staying in movies for a bit. Then, you know, Blu-ray release, digital release. And then in the future, going back on HBO Max. And this is a big deal because these are first-run movies. You have, starting with Wonder Woman 84 coming up on Christmas Day, then going into Dune, Matrix 4, Tom and Jerry. I guess you could say that's a tentpole movie. But a big slate of movies that are coming, that are doing this. And obviously, this is kind of ruffling some feathers, not just from the theater chains, but also, you know, people that actually make movies and this affects directly. To it. Guys, I know, and Ava, I kind of want to also, you know, hear from you and everything, because this is, you know, Warner Brothers. This is over a 100-year-old studio that has been making movies, you know, forever, golden age and everything. You know, as a movie fan and everything, how do you see this? Do you see this changing anything? Do you see this, you know, affecting anything? Or what are your feelings on it?
Well, I can understand how this could affect theaters in a negative way and, you know, the people who made the movies and all that in a negative way. But my question I actually had for you was, why don't they do drive-in for, you know, these new movies that are coming out?
I mean, a lot of that is just, you know, space and everything. Uh-huh. I think you'll see, I know me and Edwin have talked about this before, where... I think for theaters to survive all this, I think you will see a shift in that. Pop-up movie, you know, drive-ins and everything have been all the rage and everything. I think you'll start seeing some theater chains just doing that, where they'll go like, oh, hey, here's a movie theater, and then we also have a drive-in at the same time. I think you'll start seeing that up and, you know, more and more and everything in the future and stuff. But a lot of that is just, I don't think they really have the money to invest, because a lot of these companies, a lot of these big companies like AMC said, hey, we might not survive this whole year, you know, because it was already hard being a theater chain already right. To begin with and everything. But go ahead.
I guess I don't understand that. Why not? Again, I feel like maybe movie theaters want it. Just no, we want it open in theaters because that would be we'll make the most money. I don't understand why, if none of their employees are working, especially here in California, why can they take a parking lot, which I know they can find, things are closed, find a parking lot and show evening showings. And instead of having a movie out for like a month, you stretch out the one movie, like Wonder Woman, stretch it out for 3 months. There's no other movies that are in competition that are coming out. So I guess I don't really understand why they can't do that. You do two showings. You have, what, three employees to go and manage the parking lot? If that, I mean,
sure you would need more than that.
I'm sure you'd need more than that, but I'm sure it won't be enough to, you know, and then charge the ticket even more.
But kind of right.
And charge more.
Like you're saying, movies like AMC are struggling. Like, why can't they just transfer all their employees there to
another parking lot? Maybe, and I know not all of them. I'm not saying that every single chain can have a big parking lot, but a lot of them do. So I guess I don't understand. Yeah, you're not going to make the most money compared to if a theater was open. But based what's going
on, make some money.
Yeah, you make some, and then you still get people going. At least you get people still the idea of going out. Stay in your car, still being safe. You don't go out. Bring your own snacks, or you just do. You know, everything is prepackaged. Charge a little bit more, and there you go. And then that way, when you people are ready to come back to the theater, they'll still have the memory muscle of getting in their car and driving a spot. So I guess no one really talks about a solution at all.
Right.
At least I don't hear anybody saying it. All it was just all people are upset, hurting theaters. Then why isn't there a solution for it then? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, the thing is also, I mean, I don't personally know. I don't understand because I'm not part of that stuff, and they may have some data to show. Like, this would be actually, you know, cost more to do than actually cost prohibitive and stuff like that. You know, just jargon, business jargon. They probably have numbers and figures to back that information up, or they could just be too scared, or they have no idea what's going on. And the thing is that nobody knew this was coming either. So it was one of those things where, at least with, like, Universal, they did something similar, but they actually talked with AMC about this, saying, hey, this is our plan going forward. Do you want to be a part of this or not? And AMC was like, yeah, let's do this. Yeah, let's team up. Because, you know, AMC got pissed off that Universal did Trolls World Tour, Invisible Woman, and The Hunt earlier this year, releasing it on streaming and such. So Universal said, okay, let's work together and stuff. Whereas with Warner Brothers, you know, they just went, hey, guess what? This is happening. And they didn't tell anybody. Theaters, even their directors or, you know, associates or actors or anybody, they didn't tell anybody this was happening. It just kind of landed with this gigantic bomb of, oh, we're doing this.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
Well, right, that I agree, that's messed up. And I get all that. That should be a separate contract altogether.
I mean, because, you know, for the actors or, you know, whoever worked on the movie that is getting a percentage of whatever box office makes, that's just so messed up.
That's the thing. You're going to see a lot of lawsuits happening about this. Legendary is going to be soon because they were talking with like Netflix and, you know, Apple to possibly sell King Kong and versus Godzilla that's coming out this year or next year to the streaming service. And they were in the middle of negotiations for that. And Warner Brothers went, nah, it's going to HBO Max. And, you know, that, you know, piss off people. And not only that, like you said, you know, bonuses and stuff for that. Like, they reportedly to make Wonder Woman 84 work, they had to renegotiate with Gal Gadot because she was supposed to get like a $10 million bonus if the movie made so much money. You know, how do you do that when half, you know, the majority of the country doesn't have theaters? Yeah, it's day and date with theaters.
What's wrong with just not release it until it's ready?
Just postpone that.
You're losing money
money on that too. I don't know. Again, they probably ran that's the thing. AT&T is running this now. AT&T bought Warner Brothers, Warner Media, and they're kind of running it like electronics, where it's like, just put the product out. Let's just put it out. So they're kind of not used to working as a studio, working as a movie theater or a movie, you know, studio or anything. They're working on it, like, just put it out. Because if they hold it back, they could be losing even more money with that. And who knows? Like, that's, I don't know. What it sounds like is this was just a reactionary tale of, we need to get these movies out now.
And I guess that's also what I don't understand. And I don't really know.
generate business for HBO Max to get subscribers to HBO Max. Because right now, HBO Max is probably the only thing that they have that's making money. That's the same thing with Disney. Right now, and that was shown on an investor's call the other day where they announced a bunch of shit that is going directly to Disney Plus. Like, you still have your movies like Black Widow and, you know, other movies they announced, like the Rogue Squadrons and whatnot. That's going to theaters. That's not going to Disney Plus. I mean, it will eventually, but yeah. It's, you know, they don't know. But
so why can't they do that? Why can't they do that with all the other big tadpole movies?
I don't
postpone
know.
All of them. Postpone Wonder Woman. Postpone 007. I don't understand what the big deal is.
I could see the downfall in postponing as well. You know, like, people are anticipating this movie so much and then they get frustrated, you know, kind of like what did happen with Disney Plus, like things that have been postponed. I kind of do start to lose interest. You know, it's like you're anticipating something, it's supposed to come out, it keeps getting pushed back. By the time it gets out, I'm not even interested in it.
Disney's doing something similar with their Mulan approach, except it's with Raya and the Last Dragon, that's coming out in March. That's coming out in theaters and also on Disney Plus same date. And if you want to watch it, it's going through their premiere access. Right. So if you want to watch it instead of going to a theater, you want to watch it on Disney Plus instead, pay the $30 to see it. You know, it looks like they're going to be doing that approach, as they're probably going to do that. That's the only movie they announced it for. I think you'll start seeing Disney approach that, because they still said, hey, Black Widow, that's come out in May. And, they didn't announce anything for premiere access or anything. So I think they'll take it as a wait and see approach, because, you know, vaccines just rolled out on trucks yesterday.
Right.
Who knows how long it's going to take to get everyone vaccinated and stuff. Is a majority of the public going to be vaccinated by May to where people feel comfortable going to theaters? They don't know. We don't know. That's too far into the future. They may pull that premiere access in theaters, or they may just go straight to theaters. But with this, it was just, and, you know, they showed that, you know, because for Disney, the only money-making thing they have right now is Disney Plus. And that's, and, you know, Warner Brothers probably saw that. We have our HBO Max. We need subscribers. Let's put all the theater. And you know what? They probably got a shit ton of subscribers for this. You know? So the longer they may make money off of that way, too. And with that, that's coming in. That's a monthly $14.99 times so many people monthly that you know is going to be there. Instead of like, hey, Tom and Jerry's out in theaters. Are people going to go see that? Probably not.
God, no. That looks terrible.
Hey, guess what? We got HBO Max. It's on here. So, yeah, why not?
Still not going to watch it.
As a Tom and Jerry fan, hell to the no.
Yeah, she's a huge fan. No, it looks awful. It
looks like one garbage. Of the worst movies
garbage.
Ever.
Are you going to watch it? Are you going to watch
no.
it?
No, I had no intention in watching it. As much as I like Chloe.
You hate her.
That's right. No, I'm thinking of, no, you're thinking of McLovin, Christopher Mintz Plaza.
Love him.
Well, he's in it too. Anyway, so, yeah, I don't know. Like, right now, I think you'll still see a lot of fallout from this and everything coming up in the next few, you know, months. Or throughout the year and everything, because I know that they're going to get a lot of... They'll probably get us some lawsuits about this, too. Because, again, Legendary, who, you know, is a who has a distribution deal with Warner Brothers, they got kind of sidetracked and sidewiped with this. And they're like, you know, we were planning on selling this to, you know, Apple or, you know, Netflix or something. And, you know, and not just, you know, for chump change, but like $225 million, you know, and you made us lose $225 million. Fuck off. So lawyer up. Mm-hmm. Lawyer the fuck up.
Well, I feel bad for the rich people that are not going to get a few millions. I truly do feel bad. Hopefully they have a roof over their heads afterwards.
I hope so, too. I mean, who knows? You know, I don't know. Who knows with today? Because, you know, million-dollar corporation. I can't do this. Fuck them all. Anyway, let's talk about some movies.
Yay.
No. Let's talk about... Well, let's ride the critical wave. You just talked HBO Go, trying to be Disney Plus. Let's talk about Disney Plus and what they announced.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they announced a shit ton of stuff. They announced everything, Hey guys, you have a nostalgia for stuff? Guess what? They're going to put it on Disney Plus. They announced in the next few years, there's going to be 10 series from Marvel, 10 series from Star Wars going straight to Disney Plus. So guess what? You're going to, whatever is old is new. They announced a bunch of shit from Star Wars, new spin-off shows for Mandalorian, Rangers of the New Republic, and Ahsoka Tano, or Ahsoka. You'll see it. They announced a short series of short anime stuff, kind of like the Animatrix, but Star Wars. Japanese animation companies will be making shorts for them. They announced a Andor show from the basically a prequel show to Rogue One with Andor Cassian, whatever his name is. Obi-Wan is coming back with Ewan McGregor, telling a story about 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, and they announced that Hayden Christensen is going to be Vader coming back, who played Anakin Skywalker in those, so he'll be in that show. Who knows what the hell that's how that's going to play out, because the whole point of Star Wars A New Hope, when Obi-Wan and Darth Vader see each other, it's for the first time in 20 years, and it's like, that's an impactful moment. Are you going to ruin it by showing a different time they met each other? Probably.
Hey, man, you're still going to watch it.
What are you doing here? I'm getting milk. He comes back to the Emperor. Like, you would never guess who I ran into at the store. They announced a bunch of shit for Star Wars. Also, Lucasfilm announced that they're going ahead with Indiana Jones 5. Which is going to be the last Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford is coming back. The guy who directed Logan and 310 to Yuma will be directing, James Mangold. Whatever. So they announced a bunch of shit for Marvel. They showed previews for Loki, WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Those are all coming up January for WandaVision. March, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and then in May, Loki. They also announced new information on Ms. Marvel, the Ms. Marvel show that's currently in production. She's going to be in Captain Marvel 2, they announced, which is in production, which is in pre-production right now. A bunch of other things. They're making an Armor Wars show, which is basically Tony Stark's worst nightmare. What if people get their hands on the suit of iron? And that's going to have Don Cheadle in it. We also have Ironheart, which is the newest character, Riri Williams, who took over for Tony Stark.
She-Hulk, right?
She-Hulk. We also have She-Hulk, and let me see real quick.
Oh, Hawkeye. You said Hawkeye, though.
Hawkeye. Just one moment. I'm going to be right back. I have to run to the bathroom. I'm going to be right back.
Gotcha.
All right. Gotcha. Just a moment.
Just a moment. Yourselves.
Yes.
So anyway, She-Hulk is a girl that's like the Hulk.
Yeah, I got that. Tell me something I don't.
Oh.
Well. I've been watching all these Easter eggs about Loki. Did you learn anything? Nothing.
Not really. So I had it in the background, and I don't know much about it.
I mean, I know they really. This is the second trailer they released for WandaVision, but like, I'm okay with not watching each trailer they release and trying to break it down. Like, I kind of want to be surprised when the show comes out. I know there's some fans who love nitpicking and looking for those Easter eggs, but I don't care to do that. I just get more excited of the surprise when, you know, the show comes out and then you're watching it and then you notice that, you know?
I think I just, like, when I see, like, the YouTube video,
it's just so many.
I'm like, oh God.
There's
and mind you, I don't care. I don't care.
Everyone analyzing the new trailer. I'm like, I don't want to know.
Yeah. And normally, like, I wouldn't care until they mention one word, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, or they show a picture.
And it's like, a bait, and they get me. I'm like, yeah, oh, God.
They
and
almost
then
got
nothing.
Me, too, with Loki. They had a picture of Tony Stark's face, and I was like, wait a minute.
Fast forward it. But I think they mentioned what you mentioned already, is Loki starting in the desert.
Yeah.
And I think that's all they said, that, oh, they're doing – they're just tying in similarities to stories that we've already seen, but now they're applying it to a different character.
Yeah.
Kind of showing that, oh, he's going to be kind of like a rebirth, or you're going to see him change from now on. That's going to be a crucial moment, that something's going to happen to him where he changes something. I don't know. But I could be wrong.
I thought too, again, kind of like you had it in the background. I think I had it in the background and I heard somebody talking about, you know, he's in a court for like he's in a time.
Yes, and that's why I did get excited for, because I knew that in the comics.
And that honestly made me think of the planet that Loki and Thor right. ended up on, where they say like time works differently here. He's like, haven't you?
Yeah,
and he's like you've been gone for a long time. He's like, well, no, I've only been here a week. Time works differently here.
Yeah.
You know,
and they kind of have a look to it too. Back then. We're talking. They have kind of have a look to it, kind of like the movie, to the point where I'm like, oh, maybe reference that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Anyway, where's Brian?
Be right. We need you.
Hey, dude.
Hi. I'm probably going to cut all that out. Anyway, no, I'm going to cut out the part where I had to go to the bathroom. Anyway.
Sounds good.
So.
We didn't say anything. So.
So you can start in, you can start whenever you want.
Sounded like
just
you
pick
did.
Up. Where did we leave off at? Where did we leave off of? Oh yeah. Oh, other shows we mentioned.
She-Hulk. So
yeah we can just jump in. We can just, from She-Hulk, and we can just jump into, cause I have a question about what happened to the movie releases. Did they talk about Black Widow and all that?
Yes, I did. Black Widow is coming out in May still. They have a track record for that. Eternals is coming out in November. So none of that changes. What will change is possibly little things like maybe how it's going to be shown. Who knows? They might do the premiere method. They might not.
They're waiting.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a wait and see approach. I think with all that, they did announce a bunch of also Disney shows or Disney movies like Pinocchio, a remake to Pinocchio starring Tom Hanks as Geppetto, that's going to Disney Plus. I think that's the only one they did announce for that. But they basically, again, the primary focus is, I think they're going to go like, okay, not a lot of people are going to want to watch, you know, Pinocchio remake with Tom Hanks, so let's just put it to Disney Plus just to make sure, you know, at least people want to sign up and see that. So, yeah, I mean, just a lot of announcements there. She-Hulk, the Abomination's going to be back for that show along with Mark Ruffalo. They also confirmed that the actress they originally announced, Tatiana something or other, I forgot her name, she's mm-hmm. playing She-Hulk. Mark Ruffalo's going to be in it. Abomination's going to be in it. Secret Invasion. That's the Nick Fury show. That's going to be with Nick Fury, with Samuel L. Jackson and what's-his-face, Ben Mendelsohn from Captain Marvel is returning as the Skrull he played. Thanos, I think.
Talos.
So they're going to be making a Secret Invasion show, and that was based off comics where you found out, like, for a number of years, Skrulls were, you know, have infiltrated the Earth, and nobody knew about it until a certain point. Was there another show? I don't have all the information here. But and they also announced at the very end, they will not be recasting Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. That, you know, they have a world of Wakanda that they can explore different characters and everything with. That was also after a week after Shuri, the actress who played Shuri, kind of had a Twitter thing. She put out an anti-vaxxer video, and a lot of people were upset about that. And then she also started liking posts where people are like, fire her from Black Panther 2, fire her from Black Panther 2. So, and she was liking posts, whoever said that. So who knows what's going to happen with that. What did she do?
I'm sorry.
She retweeted
anti the vaccine.
She put out a video. She retweeted a video that was talking about anti-vaccinations, about a person that was saying, like, you know, hey, you know, basically anti-vax, like, you shouldn't take this drug. You don't know what's in it. Da, 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 da. Also said some, you know, comments about trans people and stuff. So a lot of people were kind of on the fence about that. Like, what the hell is this all about? Like, nobody should be doing this. So people got upset, you know, started yelling at her on Twitter and everything. And then the, you know, joke became where it was like, here's Ryan Coogler. And it shows a guy like tearing up paper and throwing it away. Like, God damn it. This is going to be my third time riding this Black Panther 2.
Wow.
But, yeah, so who knows? That's all. That was just something.
I'm not going to say anything about her, yeah, but no, I'm glad they're not recasting
Chadwick for Black. Well, I mean, the thing is, how can you do that?
Yeah.
Because he owned that role and he was such a big, huge, you know, in the future, yeah, possibly, but like so soon after Black Panther 2 and just the juggernaut that had.
I mean, like, I don't see why you can't just write it in, you know, a script that he dies, you know, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like,
you can write anything you want. Like, after Endgame, something happens, and I think it would make sense for the fans to write it as if he died
in the movie as well. And you know what? I think for, like, real fans, too, they would probably even get all emotional if they, you know, I don't know. I just think that's a great idea.
And then
I was telling Edwin, like, because we lost that, you know, famous Black actor, I think it would be really cool and smart of them to cast, you know, how they're doing the Spider-Man 3 where it's kind of like a Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
And they're bringing back all the Spider-Mens, which when I first heard that, I thought that was amazing. And then, you know, Edwin said, like, oh, man, I wish they could have, like, the animated version of Miles Morales. But I was like, no, they should have a new Black actor come as a Black Spider-Man. Like, now that we don't have a Black Panther, we need a Black Spider-Man. And I think that would be amazing.
No, I think that would be great because, I mean, that's the thing about, you know, Into the Spider-Verse with – what made that movie so special was Miles Morales, the character of Miles Morales and how anybody could be Spider-Man, and how anybody can take that mantle, you know, and it was different versions of Spider-Man and different, some were, you know, Peter Parker, you know, and then Peter Parker from Noir and another, but there's Penny Parker and Spider-Gwen, Gwen Stacy, and how anybody, and then Miles Morales. And I was wondering if, like, it would be a good idea or nice idea is like have one of the Spider-Men like Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield die. And he's now taking the mantle of Spider-Man. He's the Spider-Man of that universe and stuff. Cause, I just got done reading almost 20 years of Spider-Man comics of Ultimate Spider-Man that Brian Michael Bendis did where you got introduced to Miles Morales. And that's what happened in those comics. They killed Peter Parker off and, Miles Morales took up the mantle because he got bit by a similar spider, you know, and he started becoming the Spider-Man, you know, in that universe. So I don't know. Like, I think they are playing with the multiverse stuff. They did say that WandaVision is going to play into Doctor Strange and the multiverse of madness. And that's going to play right into Spider-Man 3. So who knows what's going to happen? A lot of that stuff is at this point kind of fan theory right now because the only thing that's official is like Jamie Foxx is coming back, you know, so it is Lodge and, you know, Alfred Molina is coming back as Doc Ock. So the logical conclusion is, there's going to be three Spider-Man in that movie and who knows what's going to happen with that. I don't know. But
Tobey Maguire for sure is signed on or that's not.
That's not official. However, they've been seen in Atlanta, which where they're filming. So
it could be just cameos.
It could be just little. And that's the thing. A lot of these things could be just, you know, 30-second cameos and that's it.
Yeah. It won't be like the anime. That's the thing. It's going to be really hard to top the animation movie. And I don't think they're ready for that yet. I think they're just going to have to tease it until people are kind of used to it. Maybe they'll tack it on in the end.
I wish they could just go for it.
If there is the balls, just do it all. Just do it like exactly the way, not exactly, but
there are
as
rumors,
crazy.
There are rumors that the Doctor Strange movie will have multi-universes of characters like Captain America, but played in other universes by people that almost got the role. So, like, John Krasinski as Captain America, because he was, like, he came dangerously close to being Captain America.
Yeah.
So he would appear in Doctor Strange as a version of Captain America. So who knows what we'll see? We don't know. That's the thing. And that sounds like a fun little rumor where, you know, you have multiverses, and it's like, oh, shit.
It'll be like Ragnarok, where Loki does his own play, and you see Matt Damon and
Matt Damon is Odin,
and Chris Hemsworth's brother, and Sam Neill as
Odin and Matt. Yeah, no, exactly. It could be that. There's like rumor that Tom Cruise will appear as Tony Stark, because for the longest time he was supposed to be Iron Man.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, there's all these different little rumors that are flying about. Who knows if they're true or not?
He was Austin Powers within the Austin Powers movie within the movie.
That works. He can fucking do it. He can do impressions. He's a funny guy. And not at all weird and some weird.
Yeah. Tropic Thunder, baby.
Exactly. Tropic Thunder. But that's pretty much everything. Oh, and they also announced that, you know, at the very end, you know, they're moving along with Blade, with Mahershala Ali. And then they announced that Fantastic Four is being in development as we speak, and that the director of the Spider-Man movie is going to be directing that. And that's all that was said. That and a logo. Like, hey, guess what? We are working on Fantastic Four, Marvel's first family, and we're going to go ahead with that. We're working on that right now. And that was it. A majority of that stuff was Disney Plus shows. They're really going to utilize Disney Plus shows, because they can say right now that's kind of their jam right now, you know. And, you know, they're currently making Thor Ragnarok. That's being done in Australia, directed by Taika Waititi, who's also directing a Star Wars movie. They also announced Patty Jenkins, who directed Wonder Woman 84 and Monster, and Wonder Woman 1. She's going to be directing Rogue Squadron, and her announcement video was actually really cool. It's her, like, rollerblading, and she's talking about, and she rollerblades up to her car, and she's talking about how her dad was a fighter pilot, and she always loved hearing fighter pilot stories from her dad. And then when her dad died in line of duty as a fighter pilot, she always wanted to make a fighter pilot movie. And for years, she's been looking for the right story and everything, and then she finally came across this thing which combines both her loves of fighter pilots and Star Wars. And then as she's doing this, she's, like, suiting up in a fighter pilot, like the orange jumpsuit that you see in Star Wars and stuff and everything. And she's walking towards a huge X-Wing on the tarmac, and then it goes to Star Wars Rogue Squadron, so... That was actually a pretty cool little reveal there. But she's going to be making a Star Wars movie titled with Rogue Squadron. So, yeah. Cool. Yeah, no. So, again, lots of announcements. Edwin, I know you're excited. Please try to contain your excitement.
I will.
All right. Give you time. What the fuck was that? No. So that was all the... That was all the announcements from Disney Plus and Disney as a whole and everything on their investor call, which also I could get into the Latin America division where they're doing Disney Plus stuff, but I'll let you guys at home figure that out. And also in England and India and all that, because that was an investor call investor call, because if you've ever been in a company investor call, it is all about numbers and everything. And for the first half of that, that's all it was. And then they gave all the stuff everyone's been wanting. So it was funny to see, like, just imagine a fanboy sitting there going, like, get to the store. When are we getting to the fireworks factory? When they're talking about, like, you know, the numbers and growth and REO and all that stuff. But anyway. let's transition over to our big topic. We're still continuing A Shane Black Christmas. And last time we talked about Lethal Weapon, and we also talked about The Long Kiss Goodnight. We both were all three of us were fans of both those movies. And this week, we're going to jump into Shane Black's first directorial debut, a movie he directed wrote and directed right after Long Kiss Goodnight. And that movie is 2005's Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Let's go.
Hurry up.
It's not my fault.
Just shut up and run.
Hold it right there.
Harry was a small-time crook.
Oh, boy.
Till he opened the door.
Oh, no, we're not ready for your audition.
Just take him, he's ready. You ready, right?
To a really big break.
Quit acting like the good guy. You got your partner killed.
You killed him.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Old school method. Get me Gabe Perry on the phone.
But he'll need a real cop.
Detective lessons tomorrow for your acting.
Oh, are you the consultant?
If he wants to act the part.
You must be
Gabe Perry?
Still gay?
Me? No. I just like the name so much, I can't get rid of it.
Bang, bang!
So what do you do?
I'm a private detective.
Bang, bang!
She thinks I'm a detective.
Of all the idiot things to do.
Bang, bang!
My sister was murdered. Are you going to help me?
I got to check my schedule.
Can you help me, Harry? Because you're not going to help me find somebody else.
So sometimes I have other... my caseload is pretty...
Thank you.
From Shane Black, the creator of Lethal Weapon.
Do not play detective.
Moron. Go home before the bad guys do something bad to you.
Two corpses in 3 hours. I mean, that's unusual, right?
Yes.
Comes a mystery.
It's a frame-up. First things first. Do you have the corpse?
I got rid of it.
You threw it away.
Yeah. Look up idiot in the dictionary. You know what you'll find?
A picture of me?
No. The definition of the word idiot.
Ow. That starts with a kiss.
Why'd you lie to me?
It was an excuse to stay around you, so I mean, I think...
Ow! Did I just cut off your finger?
Yeah. It's on the floor. Pick it up. Pick it up.
And ends with a bang.
Where is the girl?
You put a live round in that gun.
Oh, well, yeah. There was like an 8% chance.
Who taught you math?
Robert Downey Jr.
What do you think, I'm stupid?
Val Kilmer.
Yes, I think you're stupid.
Kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
Oh, hell.
Kiss me.
What?
Kiss me.
No.
These lessons suck.
Again, that movie was released in 2005, starring, written, directed by Shane Black himself, based on the book Bodies Are Where You Find Them by Brett Halliday, starring Corbin Bergson, Michelle Monaghan, Val Kilmer, and Robert Downey Jr. Guys, what do we think about Shane's play? We liked him as a screenwriter. Do we like him as a director?
Well, I will say that I didn't hate it. It was a little sloppy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love Robert Downey Jr. in it. I like the genre that they're playing in, film noir, which in itself can be confusing. So I know that's part of the formula.
Yeah.
But to me, the thing that really kind of really takes me out is when, you know, Robert Downey Jr. like stops like the frame and has to like, oh, wait, you know, wait, let me back up.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about the robot. I mentioned that and I forgot about it.
Yeah. And even though he probably speaks the way how I would tell a story, which could be very annoying, I don't think it played well within the movie. I know probably the books that it's based on, or I can tell books are kind of like this where they kind of jump around to kind of make it, you know, a little bit more enjoyable when you're reading it, but filming it, I did not enjoy it. I felt like when it did it twice, it took me out, and then it was a little bit confusing of what was happening to the point where I almost didn't care of what was happening. With the plot and, you know, about the murder mystery, but you know, toward the end, I will say it got, you know, way better.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. I did like that again. The chemistry between Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. was great. Mm-hmm. The emotional beats that Robert Downey does, like in the beginning where he's in that audition, was really mm-hmm. good. Him accidentally shooting someone during interrogating the guy in front of the hospital was very funny. Again, the movie made me laugh quite a bit. So it is, you know, a comedy, and it had like little fun moments, but I just think some of the the narration, which is a key thing within the two movies that we're going to be talking about, was a little sloppy for me. Yeah. And even toward the end, which I enjoyed, there was like a little ending where Val Kilmer goes to, I think, the dad of
Michelle Monaghan,
and kind of slaps him. I remember the first time I watched this when it came out in theaters, mm-hmm. I was so confused, and I thought it was Val Kilmer visiting his father.
Mm-hmm.
Now watching this movie, I go, oh no, it's the girl, and they kind of mention it in the movie.
Right, yeah.
And then it cuts to a little fun scene of him, Robert Downey Jr. again, doing a little video blog, you know, and...
Yeah, it was a weird little beat where it's why do you have to have that?
Just way too many beats like that. Yeah. And that's why I found it a little sloppy. I kind of, you know, kind of got irritating to me, but again, not to say that the whole movie is bad.
Yeah.
The characters weren't bad, were pretty good. I think Val Kilmer was the best part, because I think anytime Val Kilmer was around, the movie made more sense and it flowed really nicely and it was fun. Yeah.
Which makes sense, because he's the only one that it's actually, you know, he's a private detective. He's actually that, you know, not Robert Downey Jr. Who's pretending to be a private detective. So it would make sense that when he comes in, everything starts making more sense. But Ava, what did you think?
I agree. It was sloppy. I mean, I guess confusing would be just a better term for me. Like, I understand that this is how some movies are, where they want to, you know, twist and turns and red herrings. But I was so confused so many times. Like, okay, wait, the sister died. No, first she dies. Now it's the sister, and it's this other girl, and then the girl is being in place of her, and now it's some other girl who's being in place of her. I was just like, just barely hanging on, trying to follow the story, you know, but kind of like Edwin said, there was elements to it that kept it fun and funny, to where, you know, I'm like, okay.
It wheeled you back in. Like,
I'm trying not to focus on the fact that I can barely keep up with the story, but you know, there's elements throughout it where I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying that. I agree with Val Kilmer's character being kind of like the glue of the movie.
Yeah, he really was. To me, he really was.
It really shows why Val Kilmer was a big star, because he is such a good, charming actor. I watched Willow the other night for the first time, which is another show that's coming to Disney Plus, a new reboot of that. Not reboot, but a continuation.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, no, Willow, it's not a good movie, but Kilmer is really charming as Mad Mardigan, as the swordsman that just give me a sword and I'm going to be the best swordsman. And they finally give him a sword and it's like, oh my God, he is the best swordsman in the world, you know, kind of situation. But he's very charming, very thing. And then watching this again, it was like, oh yeah, it's very charming. But I'm agreeing with you, Edwin. It's a movie that's really sloppy, and it does take some winks and nods, and with the narration especially, where it knows it's sloppy too.
Yeah.
So it'll say like, oh yeah, no, don't worry, we're not doing that. Like, to tell the audience, like, no, we know, we get it.
Yeah. And it's I don't think that it doesn't excuse it to me. I hate when they do that.
No, exactly. It doesn't give an excuse or anything. It's just one of those things where you're like, well, if you knew it, why didn't you fix it? You know, and it was a little too cutesy at times, of like inside Hollywood talk and stuff like that, where it's just like, you know, I already buy this. You don't have to, you know, glitter it up or anything like that. I mean,
And then it got dark too. Again, tonally, it just went all over the place. Cause it was funny. Yeah. Like you started, the movie starts with the kids and the, you know, magic show.
It's funny.
And then now it's, okay, Robert Downey Jr. robbing him, going to the audition, the toy store, then robbing.
The audition is the best part.
Oh, great opening. Oh, yeah. They should have just started with that.
Yeah.
They should have just started with that. Cause that kind of showed like Robert Downey, like, yeah, he can really perform. I bought into it. Like I was laughing. I'm like, oh, this is good. This is interesting. Oh man, I feel really bad for this guy.
That was so good.
Yeah. And then you lose me when now it cuts to the party and I know this is supposed to be setting in LA. And I agree with you, Brian. It kind of just was too much in your face with this is how LA is. And how dark it is, and how shallow people can be, and and also
like
dark
weird
can it be.
Christmas party, like that weird Christmas party where everyone's just like, "What? That's a nun with her top off praying. What? This is Hollywood." It's a little too winky. But then again, it's I remember when I saw this the first time, I was like, "Oh my god, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen. This is great." But then watching it again, I got the sense of like, this is a little too much. Like, this is a little, cause also this is a time period where Robert Downey Jr., we know Robert Downey Jr. now as Iron Man. This is actually kind of what got him Iron Man. At this point, Robert Downey Jr., nobody wanted to work with him. Because he was a liability. You know, this is a couple years after the fact that he stumbled into somebody else's house and slept in their kid's bed because he thought it was their house. And he was high out of his mind. He had gone to jail. Nobody wanted to work with Robert Downey Jr. And Shane Black kind of was like, I like Robert Downey Jr. I'm going to work with Robert Downey Jr. And this is what basically essentially got him Iron Man. Cause it showed like, oh yeah, no, Robert Downey Jr. is Robert Downey Jr. Great fucking actor. And, you know, yeah, they had to, you know, petition really hard for him to get Iron Man and had to take a lot of fucking, you know, liabilities with him and stuff. But this is the stepping stone to, for people to remember. Oh yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is pretty cool. It's funny. He's great in it. And that, like you said, that audition scene is legit great. You know, it is
performance wise is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great little performance and stuff. But like you guys said, it is a little sloppy. It's all over the place.
I mean, and this is Shane Black's first director.
And it, directorial debut. And it shows.
I think it shows, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, very immature. You can tell that it was kind of done. Not to say that he was.
You could tell he probably learned a lot from that.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, you it see also, a lot of, and I was going to mention, like, but you do see a lot of the stuff that he has written. I mean, the chemistry of two actors is there in the movie. So that's, you know, a Shane Blackism, as I would, you know, as we would say.
I mean, Christmas elements, I was going to say, the fact that we're watching it around Christmas time, there was a lot of the Christmas elements that you do see in every Shane Black movie. So I'm like, okay, I see that he does
funny,
keep this in all his movies.
Funny, you know, action. Every once in a while, there's like a dark tone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just comparing it to what we watched prior, of the stories that he's written, based, you know, directed by, you know, directors that are a little bit more seasoned.
You got your Richard Donner, you got your Rennie Harlan, you got your,
even Rennie Harlan kind of, in a way, you know, went a little bombastic and action-y on, you know, Long Kiss Goodnight. But this one, I'm like, too much, you know, I don't know, I don't even know, I guess too overrated.
That's the thing also. It could have used a bunch, like the very end of the show, the very end of the movie. You didn't have to have, that little video thing where it's like, it just seems like it's over stuff. You didn't even have to have the father scene with Val Kilmer slapping the father around. You didn't really even have to have that. There's a lot of stuff that could have, it's funny because this movie is an hour and a half.
And it feels so much longer.
It feels like a 2-hour movie because there's spots where it stops and you think, and they make a joke about it going like, oh yeah, no, don't worry. I saw Lord of the Rings. I know I hate those, endings too. You know, those movies that never end either. I saw Lord of the Rings. And it was like, you've already done that. This is like the third ending. Like you've already ended this already. So yeah, no, and just that excuse also, that flimsy excuse of, well, how do they find out that the daughter?
Oh yeah, you didn't like her. That it's either.
Like, it was like, oh,
with it's the underwear.
I don't understand.
It's one of those things where it's like, common knowledge that they don't wear underwear.
What? He's like, how did they go from this to that? Like, he was asking me for, like
I do not understand that at all.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, like, if the daughter, like, the
daughter was in the middle
Institute. In the casket. I know, the whole time. So another girl died. I mean,
the daughter was who was in the trunk of the car that Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer first see. Mm-hmm. So that was the daughter. The real daughter. That was the real daughter.
And who was in the casket in the end?
The real daughter. Because they found that body when they
put it on confused. The road. I was so
confused about that then.
Yeah, no, because then the two-haired girl who is posing as the daughter.
When was she posing as the daughter?
During the Christmas, the whole time. She was
in the party.
That was her at the party, yes.
Jesus.
And that's why you saw Michelle Moynihan's sister going to visit Corbin Burnson because she thought he was his real father. Mm-hmm. And when she went to go see him, she saw him making out with the pink-haired girl, and she thought, oh, he's making out
and
with
again,
his daughter.
And again, that impacted me from like, oh, that man,
that
sucks.
That was the dark part.
Like, yeah, that's again,
where
I'm not,
you realize she actually killed herself for that
like,
reason.
Does that, wow, because they found out, oh, wait,
that was good, you know, but yeah, man, that hurts. That
of
stuff
really
works.
Good elements, and that's the stuff that works, but it's just way too much.
Yeah.
Dude, you need to edit this, and it's, yeah, I mean.
And get rid of the narrating, too, but yeah, I mean, I think after 40, yeah, after first 40 minutes, we had to stop, because we were like, okay, we're going to get something to eat, and
where are
I'm just like, and it reminded me of the first time I watched it in theaters, and I'm like, oh, I remember not liking this, and now I really don't like this right now.
Yeah,
like they're ruining it by keep doing.
The beginning is the hardest part, like the ending, you know, it kind of.
Yeah.
Was having a better formula, but in the beginning, it took too long to make a point. And
yeah, as soon as Robert Downey calls, sees the dead girl, the planted girl, mm-hmm. in his shower, and he pees on him, which is another.
Oh, it's hilarious!
Moment.
It's him. Yeah, freaking out because he looks over and he's just like, "Oh God!" And he just continues peeing on this corpse, and then. Yeah. And then he goes like, hey, Perry, I peed on who? Peed on the corpse. Why would you pee on the corpse? It just happened.
Let's get back to that. Like, he's like, so insistent, like, no, why would you do that?
We're not going to do it.
I think that point, okay, I'm back in the movie. I'm interested. Yeah. And then it loses me when it gets to the film noir part of trying to be confusing, and it wasn't fun.
I love that his name was Gay Perry.
Yeah. He was great.
And that was a fun little thing where it's playing on everybody's homophobia at the time. Because again, this is 2005. It's only a 15-year-old movie. Look how far we've come.
Wow.
I mean, it's
so
one of those
dated.
Things.
Very
it's
dated.
Really dated. 15 years. But because it is one of those things where it's just like a lot of those jokes are gay panic. Like, here's a joke about gay panic. Like, you know, why would you kiss me? Oh my God. And Robert Downey Jr. like pretending to, or not pretending, but like, you know, making a gross sound when he's, you know, possibly having to suck his cock or something. Like, there's a lot of stuff. It's really dated, and you don't realize until you're, you know, away from it, how dated it can actually be.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. But, like I said, this movie itself led Robert Downey Jr. into the Iron Man, the Marvel MCU, to be taken a chance on to be Iron Man and everything. And guess what, guys? They made three of those movies, Iron Man specifically. They made a ton of other movies, but Iron Man 3 was kind of a little important movie, and they wanted to get somebody who they could they knew could write like a type of thriller. They didn't want to make the same old Marvel movie or anything, so they went, hey, Robert Downey, do you know anybody that could help us with this? And he said, I hold my beer. I got you, fam. And this is Shane Black's follow-up to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and that is Iron Man 3.
Got a lot of apologies to make.
Nothing's been the same since New York. You experience things, and then they're over. I can't sleep. And when I do, I have nightmares. Honestly, there's 100 people who want to kill me. I hope I can protect the one thing I can't live without.
Ladies, children, sheep. Some people call me a terrorist. I consider myself a teacher. Lesson number one. Heroes. There is no such thing.
And Iron Man 3 was released in 2013, the summer of 2013, written and directed by Shane Black. Drew Pearce also gets a screenplay credit on it. Starring Ben Kingsley, James Favreau, Rebecca Hall, Guy Pearce, Don Cheadle, Gwyneth Paltrow, and, as Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. Guys, does this feel like a Shane Black movie, or does it feel like a Marvel movie? I think that's the big question here, because Marvel movies, when they get directors, you don't really see a lot of vision from these directors. They all seem to be kind of the same. You do see in some cases some pop up, like Taika Waititi with Thor Ragnarok, and you know, Coogler with Black Panther for a bit, but for the most part, a lot of these movies feel the same. In this case, could you look at this and say, oh yeah, this is a Shane Black film?
Well, this is going to sound like a cheat, but to me it's kind of 50-50.
Yeah.
I think the best parts are the Shane Black isms in it. I think Robert Downey, again, is great. I like the banter with him and the little kid that helps him out.
Yeah.
Even Don Cheadle toward the end. All that worked, for me. The Christmas element is still in there, you know, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that it kind of sets this movie, and I'm trying not to talk too much Marvel stuff, but I did like how it's Iron Man without a suit and him kind of, you know, making his suit again, you know, making like his little Home Alone traps.
As the mechanic.
As the mechanic going in, and Aveline pointed out, like, look, he made a bomb using
a Christmas ornament
that Chuck made. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So all that stuff, I think, really works, and I find it, you know, fun. But of course, it's a Marvel movie, so you have to add a villain or villains in this case.
Yeah.
And I absolutely hate all the villains in this movie.
Except for
I would say the Mandarin, even though he ends up being a joke, I actually liked this time around. I think I've always have. It never bothered me that he is just like a typical actor. But it
was just a British actor that's just like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah. And I kinda wish it was all him.
Yeah.
I really wish it was him. Even if the end was a joke, I wish it was just him. I think it would have been just fine.
I mean, I get that they had to do the whole... I mean, I like the concept of, you know, you're using someone as the front man or the patsy to make it look like it's coming from this person, and really it's the guy behind the camera who's behind all the bad stuff. But, I mean, I like that concept, but I agree with you. Guy Pearce... Cut out every scene of him in the entire movie. It'd be 1,000 times better.
There is something interesting to show, like, somebody that Tony Stark jilted and he has to deal with now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, but that character itself is just more...
horror.
It was
it
just...
feels it feels tacked on.
Yeah, no, it does definitely feel like something that,
Looked like the Riddler.
Yeah.
It was the Riddler from Batman Forever.
It's just, like, now I'm better than you, and...
Oh,
No, I kind of in agreement with you. It is a 50-50 bang up. You got the narration there. That's a Shane Black. You got the Christmas that's in there. I do like, because the thing with Iron Man, one, this is the first movie after the Avengers. So they have to kind of, show, like, we're not just, you know, that was a build up to Avengers. And it's like, okay, now, now you kind of have to show, like, okay, yeah, you do have to do this. And I think, can we continue these movies? And yeah, you can. But I do like how they're kind of playing with the genre. This is more of a thriller and stuff, too, at certain points. Because, again, you're taking away his armor and everything, and that's him dealing with his... In the comics, Tony is an alcoholic, and at a certain point, he has to deal with his alcoholism. Like, can I be fucking Iron Man and a drunk at the same time? No, because I almost killed this senator, you know, just trying to show off. And they switch his alcoholism with PTSD.
Right.
Which
I did like that.
Sense. Yeah, you don't you don't see that a lot in comic superhero movies where he's seen shit. He's been to space and he's seen a whole other world that is attacking and he's the only one that saw it and he almost died. Of course there's going to be some post-traumatic stress. Of course he's going to be just digging into it and building a ton of suits for every single thing, you know, and every single thing. And I did enjoy that. I did enjoy looking at that. He hadn't seen that before in a movie. Like usually it's just,
I like I mean, it's talking a little bit about the Marvel world, but I do like the change of his character that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we've seen him in several movies now, both Iron Man's, Avengers. So you see him so different, like you're saying, dealing with this post-traumatic stress. And then again, us seeing him for the first time without his suit. I love that, you know, like, okay, we're seeing, you know, what can he do without all the armor on?
And I like how he finds it with the boy and him finding the boy, I think, in that chemistry. It is the best part, I think. One of the best parts, I would say.
The kid is, and that's a funny kid actor, too. You don't get that. You usually get the, you know, just the, you know, I'm adorable. And it's like, no, he goes toe-to-toe with Robert Downey Jr. The whole, like, when he's just like, you're just going to leave me? He's like, why? I'm cold. He's like, eh. Too bad. He just like drives off. Yeah.
Because we're connected.
Because we're connected. He's like, damn it. Like, the chemistry there is great and it's funny back and forth and everything. And yeah, again, it's just, it's one of those things that I think works. That stuff, him trying to find out. Because, like, you know, Captain America and Avengers said, who are you without the armor? And it was like, I don't know. Who am I? I need this armor. And it shows, oh, wait, no, I don't. I can move on, you know, and it's, I think it was smartly done that way. And I do agree I do like the reveal of the Mandarin being some crazy British actor, played by Ben Kingsley, who's fun. Cause the thing is, it shows also kind of the range of Ben Kingsley because you see him as the Mandarin. He's like, this is a badass villain. Like, you'll never see me coming. Like,
he's so good.
Yeah.
It's just like, holy shit, this guy is fucking scary.
And yeah, my name is Trevor.
He comes out of the bathroom like, do not go in there, lady.
Yeah.
Ooh, and it's a totally different, like, wait, what the fuck? And I remember going to see that with you, Edwin, and people in the audience were just like, what the fuck? Like, people were pissed. And it's like, I'm sitting here laughing my ass off. It's like, really
laughing.
Yeah. Great.
It's like, I'm just an actor. So
I'm an actor.
Movie magic.
Movie magic.
I don't know anything about Peppa. About no Peppa.
Yeah, he's great. And then they kind of take it all back that, you know, there is a Mandarin out there that he was impersonating somebody. In the Marvel one shot that was done for a little digital short that was put out on Thor the Dark World, where he's in jail, and they're kind of going into his character, going like, you know, why would you take this role? Why would you do this? He's like, 'cause I'm an actor, and, you know, you've seen me, and it shows him, like, in his other previous work in these horrible, you know, British cop shows and whatnot. But at the very end, they're like, hey, by the way, the person interviewing him, like, pulls a gun on him and is like, you know, the real Mandarin is pissed that you would do this. And you're going to see the real Mandarin coming up in Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings and everything for that. So there is a real Mandarin out there, but not in this movie. But yeah, I don't know. Like, overall, I did enjoy it. I think it was a nice, because looking at this not just as a Shane Black movie, it is a nice thing with inside the Marvel universe, because it does show it, you know, another genre. It does show that you can continue these movies with, you know, different characters and stuff. But yeah, no, but and even the narration didn't really bother me, because if you think about it, there wasn't really much narration.
That's true.
Again, it was just at the beginning, and then at the end, and sometimes in the middle. And
yeah, stuff. That's wasn't kind a lot of like Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, yeah.
Exactly.
You did mention this when we recorded Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, or I mean, Long Kiss, Goodnight, Edwin. You said it does have that same shot, the Shane Black shot of the helicopter
shooting the house that's
over
by the hills.
By the cliff.
Oh, yep. and also in the end of Iron Man 3, where Tony Stark was handcuffed and all the henchmen are there, just like Riggs in Lethal Weapon, also kind of chained up when he gets electrocuted.
And you could even say in Long Kiss Goodnight when she's tied up. Oh, she's tied up.
Yeah, there we go. We're pointing it all out. There we go.
Shane Black sprinkles in there.
And just also making fun of the whole thing, like when he was like, the entire time, like, I'm gonna get you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna get you. 5, 4, come on.
Yeah. How long is? How long is Miami and Tennessee?
Yeah.
686
miles.
I'm good like that.
Like that shit. And then at the very end, when he beats up all those guys and he shoots that, and he's about to shoot that one guy, and the guy was just like, "Yo, I just work here. These guys are so weird."
This is something you would say. Like, I feel like that's so you right there.
Just like, yo, I just work here. These guys are weird. I don't even like them. I'm here for a paycheck. Just drops his gun. Like, yo, I'm not a part of this. I don't know. I've heard that phrase before. I just work here. Used in public before when I worked at Best Buy, you know, 20 plus years ago almost, where there was a little kid. There was this high school kid that was working on, like, you know, getting credits working at Best Buy. And there was this guy that was yelling at him. It was like an after school job, and the guy was yelling at him about, I don't know, because we didn't have Roadhouse or something. And he was getting yelled at, like, well, what do you know? What do you know? And he was just like, and he just finally went like, I don't know, man, I just work here. And the guy's like, that's why I'm asking you. Just like, it was one of the best lines that I still use to this day. Like, that is so amazing. But anyway, I think this is one of those rare movies from the Marvel universe that you do see a director kind of peek through and go, oh yeah, that's a style. That's a Shane Black style. You know, that is a Shane Black style and everything. And, you know, of course, at the very end of the movie, you realize that it's not a narration. It's Tony Stark talking to, Bruce Banner, you know, his problems and everything. And, you know, finding out that he fell asleep halfway through, cause he's not that type of doctor. Like, he's not that type of doctor. Get a real therapist, Tony.
Where did I lose you?
Yeah.
And it was like the beginning of the story.
It was just like, I don't know, 1999. Which is great. Also, great way to open a movie with the song Blue. I am blue. And then John Favreau looking like a Tarantino extra is happy during the 1999.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't know. Yeah, no, it is, I think it does shine bright with that, and I think it is a fun little movie and stuff with that for sure, so I do think it is up there with Shane Black stuff. Yeah. But,
it's the only Christmas
Marvel
movie within the 23 films or 22 films.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And I do like that stuff where it's like, you know, a movie that takes place during Christmas. Right now I played through, Spider-Man Miles Morales for the PlayStation, and that takes place during Christmas. Like, one of the first levels, it's Christmas in Harlem. It's him just walking through Christmas and stuff. So it's a snowy setting, and one of the first, you know, couple levels is Christmas dinner with the family. And then it's the 2 week break in high school, and he has to deal with the Tinkerer and all this stuff. And it's his first time.
Yeah. Like, do you know who the Tinkerer is? So they kind of showed him in Spider-Man Homecoming. You know how Michael Keaton has a a little scientist guy that's doing all the thing. Uh-huh. I think he's supposed to be the tinkerer. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Brian?
Yeah, I think that was mentioned for that he was like the tinkerer, because the tinkerer is the guy that makes all the clothing for the supervillains, essentially, to do that. And but this, they do something different with the with this character that's really, really good, really compelling, and really like, God, this is so great. Like, I really enjoy that game. But yeah, you're swinging through New York during fucking Christmas time and snow and everything in this video game. And it's,
I mean, that I've never seen it in a movie, having a Spider-Man movie. Have you seen snow and him webbing through the New York skyline while it's snowing? That would be really cool to watch.
And it's great. That. It's fucking beautiful. It's a fucking beautiful game. And yeah, like it has like, you know, it's great.
Brian, give it to me if she wants to play.
Fine. Here's my PlayStation. get a PS5. Like nobody can. But again, it's one of those things where it's not, I like those type of settings where it's like, oh yeah, no, it's Christmas, but it's not all about Christmas. But, you know, in this case, yeah, it is about, you know, family, friends, remembering, and because that's what the holiday is for, is to remember and to, you know, gather together and, you know, in the darkest of nights and the coldest of nights, everyone got together to get warmth, you know, and, that's really what the Christmas season to me is about, at least, you know, gathering together and remembering what you're good for. And these movies do show that, you know, Iron Man especially, like, oh, I am Tony Stark. I do have Pepper. I do have Happy and everything, you know. And then we also got to see, Christmas time in Hollywood around, you know, with all the stuff like that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
With all that. But,
yeah, you forgot about Tony Stark's robot hand that he saved.
Oh, that's right.
Hand.
Yeah, dummy.
Dummy. Yeah, dummy. He saved dummy. Yeah, that was good.
He saved dummy. That was, it was good to see dummy at the end of the movie where it's like, oh, good, dummy didn't die. Because mm-hmm. the last time you saw him, he was going down to the ocean. Yeah.
And then Ava goes, why is he throwing his arc reactor down in the water?
Anyone could find that.
Isn't that like the point of why? This is why they're making a show with War Machine. What if, you know, bad people took, you know, Tony Stark's technology's armor
because used it for
he's fucking throwing it away.
Yeah.
Like in the water. Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. And also, he threw that arc. No, he didn't throw the arc reactor. He threw the screwdriver.
No, it was the reactor. He picked up the screwdriver, kept that.
Oh, it was
that piece of
that garbage piece. What I'm thinking is, I'm thinking at the end of Endgame when they have the wreath and it's his proof that Tony Stark has a heart reactor. Leaving it in the ocean so somebody else can grab it.
No wonder
that's not even an ocean.
Making
that's a lake.
Yeah, so it's not like
it's probably accessible.
Somewhere there's some kid just like skipping stones and all of a sudden, hey Dad, what's this?
No one's learning anything.
And then it's an ex-employee of Tony Stark and he's just like,
boom, Spider-Man 3, boom.
It's one of those things where the kid's like, Daddy, what's this? And the dad looks at it and goes, vengeance.
Oh, I bet you in the end of Endgame, you see the little arc, you know, being flowed away. And then, is it Bingsley? The guy that plays Ralphie? The kid from
Peter Billy
Christmas Lee. Story, which is which Robert Downey does a reference to in Iron Man 3. I love you and Christmas Story. Imagine that scientist. That's probably the one piece he needed. Grabs it from the lake, takes it to Quentin, and boom, you get
everyone at the end of the funeral. Everyone turns around, and Vulture comes in and sweeps it up, and then flies away. There's Michael Keaton going, ha ha.
Just doing my cleanup job, guys.
Yeah.
You have hawks around here? I guess. I don't know.
That'd be good.
Call, motherfuckers! Did you hear something? I don't know.
No.
Let's
go get those cheeseburgers. Your daddy loves cheeseburgers.
Your dad loves cheeseburgers. But yeah, no, that's going to be a continual problem, throwing stuff away. Like those old westerns, when somebody ran out of bullets, they threw their gun. It's like, well, use that again. Now you got to find a new gun.
Again, Robert Downey, again, in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Throws
the
gun in the lake. And Val Kilmer gets like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm throwing away the evidence. Yeah, in the lake where the car is, when they wash it up, they'll find the murder weapon.
The weapon next to the victim with a bullet in the head. Come on. He's all, ooh, sorry, I got priors.
Yeah. Robert Downey, man, I'm sure that was his idea, too.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. For sure. He's, yeah.
He I got you this. I got you this job, Black. I do what I want here. This is my universe. Yeah,
exactly. My universe. I'm doing whatever.
I'm throwing pepper in the water.
Yeah. But with that said, I think we're done with both Kiss Kiss Bang Bang Iron Man 3, unless you have some other stuff to say. But next episode, we're going to be doing The Nice Guys. And I think we agreed Die Hard, because why the fuck not? Because he could have possibly done a rewrite on that. We don't remember. But who cares? It's Die Hard. The ultimate Christmas time, or ultimate movie set during Christmas time that's not about Christmas. The one that everyone on the internet will have to remind you is a Christmas movie, which we get it. Okay, shut up.
Yeah.
We get it. And yes, Bacon is great. God.
Wait, what did you say?
Yeah, I said, yeah, and we get it. Bacon is great as well. God.
Oh, I see.
Bacon is good, but an ice cream and soda flavored bacon? No. Okay. Anyway. Internet, you really test me sometimes. But yeah, so I think that'll do it for us. That'll come to the end of our episode. Everyone, thank you for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe and tell people, hey, where are you listening to this? And also to you female listeners who are the majority of our listeners. Hey, how you doing? That's all I have to say.
Wow. You should tell them you have some Hollywood snow, and if they want to be a star.
I don't want a woman on Hollywood snow. Come on. I want her for me, not my snow, man. That's mine. I stole that proper. Anyway, be sure to tell us. Rate, review, subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Rewind Replay Record. That's it. Guys, do you have any other lasting words or anything you want to say to the audience?
Nope.
No. I hate everybody. Peace and love. No, I'm kidding.
I hate everyone. No. Peace and love.
Hold on. Let me do the outro. Hold on. I think I remember this. Fuck off and die. No. Eat. Brian, I totally forgot what it was.
I've said it for like 6 episodes now, or even more. I don't know. Thank you for
paying attention. See, Dad.
Oh, that's right.
You're an idiot.